Hi, good morning. Did you know women still make just 70 cents on the dollar compared to men? Could you sign my petition? Hi, good morning. Did you know women still make just 70 cents on the dollar compared to men? Could you sign my petition?
Whoa, hey, what's wrong?
Listen, I am telling you, I've lived this day before. Every day it's the same thing, over and over. People are offending me, triggering me.
Aw, come on, you should smile more.
The Babadook is gay.
No woman has ever directed a Star Wars film.
David Cross was a racist 10 years ago.
These fake gamer girls are the people that are kind of, they're destroying the internet. They're the straight cancer.
The emphasis on leftist messaging in comic books is pretty much killing the appeal.
Is this going to stop?
Did you see what Trump tweeted this time?
Very unpresidential.
All goes back to Kaepernick. See what you did, Kaepernick?
I think it may be over. I'm not offended anymore.
What? What are you talking about? This doesn't trigger you?
It must finally be over. A new day.
Come on. Dude, you've been going on about this shit every day for 8 goddamn months.
Oh, well, whatever.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. It's spooky month.
Barrel full of dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by what you end up with when you don't thoroughly read the terms of service, Mr. Mike Napier.
I have never read one of those things, nor will I ever. I'm going to push okay, and whatever comes, what may.
My buddy Travis Hulse is here as well. The albino alligator, Mr. Travis Hulse, everyone. Hello.
Hello, hello.
And Drunk. Hi, Drunk.
Hello.
Drunk is here. Drunk is ready to rock in the finale, the grand finale of Spooky Month.
Indeed. Let's do it.
And we are joined by a very special guest, Mr. Benny Michaels from the wonderful podcast Pod Cheese is here.
Hey!
I remember
thanks
when
for
I
having
used
me.
To be the special guest.
What?
I remember when I used to be the special
guest. You were the special guest for like 4 years.
I know. It was a long
just every
time.
Week. Special guest Drunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFODshow on Skype. Guys, we have one hell of a program for you tonight. So much to discuss. A little bit later, coming up after the break, me and Benny had a conversation earlier today with Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Yes.
So we're going to be playing that. He has a new book coming out, or it's out. It's out. You can get it now. It's called From Bow to Stern.
Is it in audiobook form?
You can get it in audiobook.
There
yeah.
You go.
Yeah, yeah. You get to get Jackie's book. Check him out. Fun to talk to. Nice guy. Nice guy, Jackie. He talked to us in his car, and I felt like if me and Benny wanted to, we could have just talked to him all damn day.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, I love guests like that.
Just guy's got stories for days. He just go on and on and on. Good guy, that Jackie. And you know, like the when you grow up watching somebody on TV and listening to them on the radio and stuff, it's cool to talk to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then 30 years later, they're on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks podcast.
So what's going on, everybody? Is everybody doing good?
Well, thank you.
I saw that Benny's been doing shows lately, and he had a lot to say about Corey Feldman on his most recent episode. Didn't he?
What's there to say about Corey Feldman?
Travis is a big Corey Feldman guy.
Yeah.
Travis is
what
bigger.
Isn't there to say about Corey Feldman? The two Corey's my childhood.
He was did any of you guys see him this morning?
What did he do this morning? What did he do? Oh, no.
Matt Lauer interviewed him.
Oh, really? Was Matt Lauer going in for the scoop? Matt Lauer wanted it.
Well, I couldn't find a full clip of it. The clip I saw was only like 2.5 minutes long. Did you see it, Travis?
Oh, did he have his angels in the background, though, while he was doing
the... No, I think they all quit.
Seriously?
He was lamenting on Twitter because he had to cancel all his tour dates because his band quit out of fear of their life.
Oh, shit.
Which because he was going to name some
there's
names.
There's one fear. But...
They went into hiding. So what was the gist? What was the gist of this interview? It was just him saying, "Hey, donate money to my $10 million Kickstarter so I can name names."
Yeah, what he was saying was, he did that ridiculous Indiegogo promo for his Kickstarter because he wants to release these names, I guess, in documentary form.
Right, that's the way to do it.
Apparently, in the year 2017. Where people can release a movie on Netflix with their iPhone.
There's no better way.
He needs to raise $10 million.
There's thousands of people making videos of themselves eating food.
Yeah, but he's claiming that this is for not only for the documentary, but he says he needs to employ a legal team because he anticipates being sued, and as well as round-the-clock security for himself and his family because he claims... his life is in danger. There was an attempt on his life recently where he was crossing the street and two trucks almost hit him.
Ooh,
they were in tandem? They were trying to get him synchronized, kill Corey Feldman?
Yeah, so basically as Corey Feldman was jaywalking.
Yeah, see, I feel like if you hit Corey Feldman with a truck, there might be suspicion on you. But if two people hit him with a truck, then you say... Obviously, Corey was in the wrong because we wouldn't have both been out to kill Corey Feldman. That is silly.
What Matt Lauer did.
It's the
was
perfect said, alibi, this two truck thing.
I like it.
Matt Lauer was, I think Matt Lauer came off bad. He was asked, he was basically like, well, why do you need to raise money first? Like, don't you think you should just be naming names and possibly protecting these kids and going to the police?
Yeah, be altruistic.
And Corey Feldman told him. Well, Corey Feldman says, I did do that. I gave the police names, and they just grilled me on Michael Jackson questions.
They wanted to see if they could like nail him and get him to slip that Michael Jackson was actually a pedophile. So,
guy that used to be white, he's kind of weird, right? He touched you, right?
Which he swears up and down there was no weird shit going on with Michael Jackson. Always has said Michael Jackson is just a different kind of guy.
Whether or not Matt Lauer had a good point or not, it in today's climate, in the climate of like Twitter and online right now, like with the Weinstein stuff, it probably wasn't the best approach because he was just getting snotted with victim shaming.
Maybe don't harass the guy who's trying to out a bunch of pedophiles and sexual predators.
Well, he wanted that scoop. But then also, he wanted that scoop.
If you know, do you come out and you ask for $10 million?
Yeah, that's I'm going to name cash. The names if you give me $10 million.
The Bob Zombie was trying to raise $8,000 for his last movie, and he had to emulate gore.
I see the Corey and the Hollywood Reporter, Corey Haim's mom, Sharon, I believe, came out and said, don't give this Feldman crook any money because he's just a swindler. He's just trying to get some cash.
Well, let's say he doesn't. First of all, if you don't donate to the Indiegogo, that means that you want the pedophiles to walk free. But if he doesn't make the $10 million, what then? Is he just not going to tell anybody about the pedophiles? He's just, I guess you guys didn't want it that bad. I guess you didn't want to know about the pedophiles. So I'll just keep that to myself. I'm not going to tell anybody about the pedophiles now.
I'll keep my own kids away from them, and you guys are on your own.
Now, if you wanted to do this, if you really wanted to get it made, you get like The Rock, and you just say, hey, some studio get The Rock to read Corey Feldman's names, and the studio will give him $10 million, and The Rock can just be in theaters for like a Fathom event and read the names. And I'm sure that they'd make their money back, right? The Rock is the biggest star in the world, Travis. You get The Rock to read the names.
I would think so. And you release that in theaters and you have people pay $10 a pop to come and see it. And Corey Feldman is essentially credited as a as the screenwriter for writing down the names on the list.
Right. And maybe just have like one car chase.
Just right in the middle of the names?
Yeah. Yeah. Put a car chase in there so we don't get bored. And then he reads another name, and then maybe like one of the cars flips and explodes.
Just do like a AMC Walking Dead special starring The Rock written by Corey Feldman. We have like 11 million people hear The Rock, read, Corey Feldman's list. Throw Rick and some zombies in there once in a while.
Right.
Coral.
Wouldn't it be great if there was somebody on the list named Coral?
Well, in one of his videos, where he was talking about how he's the victim and he's been a victim for a long time and Hollywood has turned him into a victim, kind of ruined him. He said, he's like, you know, I've been shamed, I've been mocked, I've been ridiculed.
In his defense, he has. Like, yeah, but, I mean, we've been making fun of Corey Feldman for because, a long time.
Why? Because he was molested as a kid, or because he does ridiculous stuff like that morning show dance with those those mediocre looking angels?
Well, I guess to be fair, like, and he has said before, and I mean, this is, you know, this is Corey Feldman saying that is the reason that Corey Haim became addicted to drugs was because he was abused by these Hollywood producers and moguls and whatever, and had to chase alcohol and drugs to like escape, you know, the childhood trauma, and that eventually killed him. And Feldman was able to like narrowly escape that. But I don't know. Is that why you see all of these young Hollywood stars like torpedo into the gutter, like your Lindsay Lohans and things, and your Drew Barrymores, and they're barely able to claw their way out? Or
I'm betting it's free drugs. Like if somebody just constantly offered you drugs and fuck,
is it free drugs from these people who are trying to take advantage of these kids and like assault these children?
No, they're just handing out free drugs.
Are we like just going to find out in the end, as time goes on, are we just going to eventually find out that everybody's awful?
I think we're getting to that conclusion pretty quickly.
Like,
I
mean, as just time goes on, everyone's pages get a little brown, it seems like.
Every award that's ever been given away gets stripped away. Every title that anybody holds gets stripped away.
Well, that and like anyone you're associated to, too. So, I mean, like, if there's a picture of you with somebody and that person gets shit on, then you're guilty by association now. Now you're in the shit.
That seems pretty legit. Why didn't anybody say anything before? Why didn't Zach Galligan say anything on the set of Gremlins when Corey Feldman was getting abused, you know?
Who?
You know,
that's a deep cut, Travis.
Billy Peltzer. You know, Gizmo's best friend.
See, and you know what the real problem now is, nobody wants to get in trouble, and so everybody just kind of keeps quiet. Like now, every time I want to check my text messages or something while I'm driving, I have to tell my phone I'm not driving. It comes up with a thing. It says, hey, you can't check your phone. You're driving. And I gotta say, no, I'm not driving. And you hit the button. And that just waives Apple's liability if I crash, right?
Yeah, you can turn that off.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Say, why would
I probably I shouldn't turn it off, though, because it's telling me not to text and drive. And that's probably a good message, right?
Yeah, and also I texted my wife and I got an auto reply saying I am driving. I am not checking text right now, which is an automated reply.
No, turn that off.
That features him. But then immediately after it says, if you text urgent, the text will go through.
Oh.
So if like you were driving and I wrote like you know, urgent and sent Mike a picture of my cock or something.
Urgent, we have to talk about these Stranger Things 2 gaffes. Goose.
Yeah, I had on Twitter, I felt that I was being mocked by Travis for my keen observations about Stranger Things 2.
What's going on? What's going on, guys?
Continuity flaws.
One of my favorite things that I saw today was this comic book writer that I really, really like had tweeted something about these Stranger Things 2 errors are getting really weird, seeing as Ghostbusters didn't come out till 2016.
And it was trash.
Took a minute, right? But I loved it once it sunk in. I really enjoyed that one.
So these are jokes. There's people that are being legit and people that are mocking it.
Well, I got annoyed with it was one of the product placement scenes when they were sitting around with a big tub of Kentucky Fried Chicken, as it was called in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the one guy made reference to KFC.
You got to remember how cool Steve is, though. Like, Steve Harrington is, like, the modicum of cool, so you have to imagine that he was creating acronyms out of nothing back in the day.
Is that what he was doing?
I feel like we were calling Kentucky Fried Chicken KFC long before KFC was calling KFC KFC.
Well, listen, it's like if the franchise changed its name next year to Mickey D's, and then we had a show set in 2017. They'd be like, "Hey, wait, no, but it wasn't called Mickey D's."
But you know what? No one cares about these inaccuracies. I tried to bring this to light when True Detective was on, the first season of True Detective. They had that one timeline on True Detective season one that took place in the 90s, and Matthew McConaughey walks into that biker bar. And on the jukebox, they were playing a song from the Melvins, you know, the Melvins.
Yeah.
That song came out in 2006. I took to Twitter, like, right away, was tweeting about it in that True Detective hashtag.
Were you vindicated? No, did somebody acknowledge you, Benny? Like
1,000 retweets.
I love the phrase, took to Twitter. That's the world we live in now. No, I also use that phrase, took to Twitter.
He was vindicated. HBO put out a statement. Guys, hey, sorry if that Melvin song took you out of the moment.
Really, yeah, man, I don't know. I think I'm just too high all the time for that to, like, ruffle my feathers. You know what I'm saying?
It was high as a kite. That's how I figured it out.
Down that deep diving, like, research. Oh, like, wait a minute. Yeah.
You just, like, that. You let it roll off your back like a wet duck.
Yeah, I wouldn't even notice the song wasn't from the 90s.
Do you remember that? The uproar there was when that Heath Ledger movie with Shoshana Rossman came out, The Knight's Tale.
And I don't remember that being the Heath Ledger movie everyone was in an uproar about.
the one you're thinking of came a few years after, but it was like all over the media. It was before, like, social media and shit, where it was like they were saying, oh, should this Knight's Tale be playing amped up versions of Queen's We Will Rock You in during the movie that's supposed to be set in medieval times?
They shouldn't. You're right. They were right, Travis.
I don't know.
That took me right out of it when they started playing We Will Rock You. I
kind of liked
it
myself.
That's silly what they're doing right now. It's silly.
Hey, can I tell you guys a story to take us out of a spooky month?
Okay.
This is 100% true.
Is it is it a spooky tale?
I think so.
Okay.
Got a ghost in it?
I got to preface this story, though. Like, you know how, like, sometimes, like, Travis, you have a son, right?
I do.
You know how, like, let's say something happens with your son that's a cool story to tell, like, your family and friends, but isn't necessarily, like, appropriate for the podcast, right?
Sure.
Like, you know. Like, let's say your son kicked the game-winning field goal.
Right.
You know, you would tell your friends and family that, but you wouldn't necessarily come on here and tell that story.
Yeah, listeners don't give a shit about real things.
I had a story like that in one day's time, overnight, became, like, the exact opposite.
So it became a podcast story and not a friend story?
It would have been a story that if I had come on and told you this a week ago, you guys probably would have rolled your eyes like, well, it's kind of a little self-indulgent and kind of no one gives a shit. And then literally overnight, it became a story that would be appropriate to tell on a podcast. And I would not want to tell any of my family or friends.
It is funny, that shift.
But last week, earlier this week, my son, who is 10 years old, he's in the fifth grade. Spent the day, probably about 12 hours in total, with Kevin Spacey.
Ooh.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
This past
and,
week?
Come season six, I'll have video evidence and proof. Now, your listeners may know my son from his role as Georgie on the It
He did a hell of a job, actually. I thought he was really good. I asked Mike, I said, whose fucking kid is
I
this?
I think that's how he landed this role with Kevin Spacey, actually. I think that was on his resume.
Kevin Spacey, he heard it and he said, wow, this kid's got range.
He has a flair for that. He was in a high school production of, I'm going to say Oliver, but it's not Oliver.
It was Oliver-esque?
Yeah, why can't I think of the name of this play? Shit.
See, oh, shit, I forgot. What a good dad.
But your kid was great in it. That's all you got to say. You're fine.
Yeah.
So you're hanging out and with then, Kevin Spacey.
The voiceover work. And he was a featured extra in the upcoming House of Cards.
So I think that's a fun story for both, Benny. You tell your parents, you tell us that's a cool thing.
Okay, yeah. Now imagine last Monday if I had come on this podcast and said, hey, guess what, guys? My son is going to be a featured escort extra on House of Cards.
Freudian slip there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wait, could you imagine? Like, what would you do with that? Just be like,
I would be really excited because I love House of Cards.
You like the house? Okay.
What do you do with that story, you know? How was it? Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It's still cool.
But it was cool. It was very cool. He came, I wasn't there. My wife was with me.
But what's the difference between last week and this week?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, Mike might not have heard today. Maybe he was busy.
I don't know either, so.
Kevin Spacey was accused of, what was he accused of, Benny?
Well, he was accused of attempting to have sex with a 14-year-old actor named Anthony Rapp.
Was that
he's a grown man now, but when this guy was 14 years old.
That was on Star Trek The Next Generation, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I think he was like a Broadway actor. He was like an actor from the original Rent. You know that movie?
Sure.
So he had a thing with a 14-year-old?
The accusation was
Spacey I got in the chat. Spacey is bad now. Spacey's not bad now. No, you guys are wrong. This isn't true. I refuse to believe this about Kevin Spacey.
Spacey is this week's Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, no.
This all happened today.
Today?
This is what I woke up.
No, guys, no.
The accusation came out.
And yeah, and then Kevin Spacey came out.
I was given the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, no, Kevin Spacey didn't admit to it, did he, Travis? He didn't, no.
He said the same thing that you've heard before, where while I don't remember this, it's possible that during that time in my life, I might have done it, and I sincerely apologize to anybody who may have been affected. And then he went on to talk about how he is a gay man. So I assume
Kevin Spacey came out as a gay man?
I don't remember the incident. But I apologize for any drunken incident that may have taken place.
Oh, no, so he did it.
Throughout my life, I've had romantic relationships with men, and from now on, I will be living as an openly gay man. This was like his response to trying to have sex with a 14-year-old boy.
So he says, I'm a gay man, and so then the news is that he's a gay.
I think that's probably what he was hoping the headline was going to be.
Be like, oh, Kevin, he's been taking his mom to movie award shows for years. We've always suspected it, but finally, Kevin is out.
I could have swore he came out when he made that movie about Bobby Darin, that self-indulgent bullshit where he played Bobby Darin as a 16-year-old kid, even though he was obviously 48 years old. And then played him as an adult as well. I swore that he came out during that time, but obviously I'm wrong.
I don't recall that.
So he
ever see that movie Beyond the Sea? It's terrible.
So he made sexual advances at a 14-year-old boy.
No, he
that's what it said. Spacey made sexual advances.
He invited. No. Benny. That's putting it mildly.
Benny, can I still watch Seven?
What's in the box?
Is Virgil Kintz still cool?
Oh no!
Kaiser Soze makes completes and Lex Luthor and Frank Underwood.
He stunk as Lex Luthor. He was a terrible Lex Luthor.
He was not a good Lex Luthor. That movie was terrible.
He even just lifted lines.
Wrong.
Ackman, Lex Luthor.
So
but, you know his response was I don't remember.
Right, and saying that I may have done that in a drunken stupor, and sorry about that.
But I mean, what is he gonna do though? What is he gonna do? Is he gonna say, "Oh, well, that guy's a fucking liar. He can't do that," because this guy's sharing his story. He's so brave.
You know, sometimes, like in the morning, when my wife is packing the kids' lunch, she'll confront me and she'll say, "Hey, did you eat the last of the Oreos?" And I'll be like, "I don't remember doing that," which is, of course, a lie. But, you know, she takes it with a grain of salt, like maybe he doesn't remember. But imagine she's packing the kids' lunches and she turns to me and confronts me and says, "Hey, did you ever try to have sex with a 14-year-old boy?" And I say, it doesn't ring any bells.
I don't recall.
Well, I mean, that's a truthful statement, though. I mean, recollection, Benny, like you're listening to someone accuse you of having sex with a 14-year-old. And like in their mind, you did it. And they're accusing you of it. And like if you say they're a liar, you know that they're just going to shit on you. They're going to say you can't tell him he's a liar. Harvey Weinstein came out and denied that Lupita Nyong'o lady. He said, "Oh no, I didn't rape her."
Specifically, not her. I'm also racist.
The reaction to that was incredible because people were like mad. They were saying, "What? Lupita Nyong'o isn't pretty enough for you to rape? Is it because she's black?" This is seriously like a thing that happened this week. Like he just said, "Oh no, Lupita Nyong'o, she's got it wrong. I didn't rape her." And people are mad at him for saying that he didn't rape her.
That is why it is best to not say anything. Like if Kevin Spacey was smart, he wouldn't have said anything. He would have let everybody be outraged, let the 48-hour news cycle evaporate, and then like quietly made a comment through his agency and said, "Oh man, I'm really sorry about this, guys." And everybody would have already moved on.
I'm gonna start using the Kevin Spacey approach. Like the next time my wife is like packing lunches for the kids, and she says, "Hey, did you eat all the Oreos?" I'm gonna say, "You know what? I think I'm gonna live the rest of my life as an openly gay man."
And do you figure the response will be fair enough?
Attention away from the Oreos.
Fair enough. So your son was on the House of Cards. He hung out with Kevin Spacey.
And he came home, like my wife, she's telling me this story, and it was a great, like, first of all, I love Kevin Spacey, you know, and my wife and I were extras on House of Cards back in season 3. And I didn't meet, I was staying in a crowd of people, so I never met Kevin Spacey, but I remember at the end of the...
He got shot? Was season 3 when he got shot?
At the end of the show, hold on a second, yes? Huh?
Oh, this is good.
This is real good.
Yeah, guys, just hold on.
Give me a second.
Just hold on, guys. It's hard to hold on for a second when Benny's in the middle of telling a story.
I know, right? I was so intrigued.
Benny's telling a story about his...
Well, when we were extras on House of Cards.
His son was an extra on House of Cards. But we need to hold on a second because we can't continue telling the story about Benny's son being an extra on House of Cards.
Tell me how this entire family has become extras on House of Cards.
But I don't know the story, Travis. I don't know the story.
Anyone can.
I can't.
Benny, you were in the middle of telling a story.
I lost my train of thought.
And then you told us to hold on. But how do we hold on? We don't know.
Season 3 of House of Cards, you and your wife were on there. You're playing your son.
Benny, your son met Kevin Spacey.
I gave him a thumbs up, and he gave me one back.
Your son?
No, me.
Did you see anything kind of shifty Spacey in his eyes, Benny? It's very topical. This is going to be great. We're going to get a boost out of this.
Man, Justin Bieber, lizard person.
Did you sense anything, Benny, when you met Kevin Spacey?
No, not at all.
So that is that the end of the story, I guess?
That's for all I got, yeah.
Eyes shift? Did they turn yellow or anything?
You know what was the funniest thing I saw on Twitter all day? And this is in the height of the Kevin Spacey frenzy, where he was 4 out of the 10 top trends worldwide.
Jeez.
the ex-producer of The Bachelor, she decided to come forward and talk about the time she was sexually harassed on the set of The Bachelor by some of the other people on set with locker room talk.
Oh, no.
Now, what poor instincts and timing. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, we're kind of talking about this other thing right now, lady. Should have given this a day or two.
Yep.
You just never know when the good day is going to be.
But, yeah, but do you guys remember Paula Poundstone?
My favorite time.
In honor of Spooky Month and to celebrate Samhain, I've decided once again to bring our listeners back to the edge of the other world. I've scoured through hundreds of hours of interviews and read countless documents to break down a few of the most haunted places. This year we travel again to the other side of this world, this time to explore the terrors of the Orient. I'll feature one of these spooky sites each week, and together we'll figure out what makes each of these locations so disturbing. We'll take the listeners on a tour of these devilish destinations so they don't have to experience the terror firsthand. Or I'll feature them so they can travel to one of these spooktacular sites at their own peril. This week I bring you Gongjam Psychiatric Hospital in South Korea.
So next year, remind me that I shouldn't come back till November.
Yeah, like, didn't we already do this one? What was last week's?
Chenji Beach in Singapore.
Benny goes, do you guys remember Paula Poundstone? And then he's just like overcome with a series of horror sound effects.
This was back in 2001. She was accused of a molestation type thing.
But she's a gay man, too.
Well, she's a she. It doesn't count if she's a she.
It doesn't matter. It was still a child.
No, she's a she.
And that was all over the news. She kept quiet.
She was huge at the time, too. I remember Paula Poundstone was huge. She had, like, didn't she have, like, a talk show and, like, an ABC show or something? Like, she was giant.
Ooh, is this story going to end with, like, 9/11 happened?
That's exactly what happened.
9/11 killed the Paula Poundstone story?
And I think September 12th, she pled guilty, and no one cared.
It also covered up that giant pedophilia ring around the church that they were investigating around Boston and shit.
Do you think that Paula Poundstone, like, really, really is happy about 9/11?
I think that it's...
you think 9/11 is the best thing to have ever happened to Paula Poundstone?
It could have been, yeah.
She was able to keep all of her residuals. They didn't cancel any awards they were going to give her.
Wow, I didn't know anything about Paula Poundstone. So if Kevin Spacey had just come out as a gay man, like, the day before the Las Vegas thing, nobody would remember, and I could still watch Seven. Huh. It's all about timing, right?
It's all about timing.
All about timing.
Can I bring up one thing before we go to break here, Mike?
Okay.
So this weekend I was on the Twitter, and I saw some newscast somewhere on the East Coast, don't remember where it was warning parents to check their kids' candy for marijuana candy. Nobody ever in the history of stonerism is going to give out marijuana candy.
Like, just as a goof?
No, it's like a real news
story. Or to corrupt children. What would be
like
the...
Exactly,
there is no motivation to give a child marijuana candy. That shit's expensive, and I want to eat it myself. I'm not giving it to your fucking greedy-ass child.
Well, you have to go through their candy every year and look for razor blades, too. I mean, like,
yeah, whatever.
Like, who's putting razor blades in people's candy? And, like, honestly, if somebody was in my neighborhood that was, like, weird enough to put razor blades in candy, I feel like I would have already known not to go to that house.
Yeah, so don't worry about checking your kids' candy for marijuana candy, because nobody's giving that shit to them because it's expensive and delicious.
And Drunk already ate it all.
Yeah, parents, you don't get free weed from your fucking kids. This isn't 1984.
You do if they're teenagers and you find it in their room.
I sense a Travis story.
What was your favorite Halloween candy growing up?
Oh, I'll tell you something, Drunk. I had a... at work, somebody brought in a big bucket of candy.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really partake until most of it was gone.
Sure.
And the last remaining bit in the bottom of the bucket, nobody had eaten this kind of candy. And I'd pull it out, and it's kind of strange looking. It kind of looked like a caramel,
mm-hmm.
but it had a creamy white center. Like it had like a, it was like a caramel.
Oh, those are good.
With like Twinkie filling in the middle. Right. And they were called Goatsies.
Okay. Pretty good.
That's an old school candy, man.
Is Goatsie a thing that's been around?
I don't know of it by the brand name, but I know like they sell it in bulk at like the Fleet Farm here, like individually wrapped caramels with that white filling that you're talking about. That's I've experienced that for all of my life.
They were pretty all right, the Goatsies.
They're pretty tasty.
Mine was always the Kit Kat.
You like a Kit Kat? You're like a Kit Kat guy?
Yes, that's me.
Napier, what's your favorite Halloween candy, buddy?
The candy corns.
No.
Okay, Napier won't be back next week, everybody.
No. That's your favorite candy?
Next thing you're telling me you like the popcorn ball.
Napier, always get them.
Napier,
get out of here with
all of
shit.
The candy in the world. No, I'm not getting into a debate with you on whether or not candy corn is good or not. I can eat a candy corn. I can be fine with candy corn. But you just said that your favorite candy is candy corn.
No, my favorite Halloween candy is candy corn.
Fair enough.
Wasn't that technically like a Thanksgiving candy? Isn't that shit belong at the bottom of like your cornucopias on your centerpieces?
No, because you only get candy corn on Halloween. Nobody eats that shit any other day but fucking Halloween.
Maybe that's why they are always... It's crazy. Maybe that's why they are in Thanksgiving decorations, because nobody eats it and they just pour it at the bottom of the thing on the fucking table and they're like, well, we'll just throw this out when we're done.
No, nobody wants them except for... On Halloween, everybody gives them out. Everybody eats them once, and they're like, this is garbage. Why would I fucking eat this?
Yeah.
And then a year rolls around, and they're fucking everywhere again.
You know, there is a merging of the two candies that were previously mentioned. Kit Kat does make a candy corn-flavored white chocolate Kit Kat.
Oh, I'm out on that.
Okay,
no.
That's unnecessary.
Yeah, not into that either. It's not good.
On May 4th, you're not getting candy corn. You can't fucking find it. On Halloween, it's fucking everywhere. Everybody hates it, but everybody's giving it out to people.
So that's why it's your favorite? Because there is some?
Because nobody else likes it and they all give it.
It's my favorite because you can only get it once a year. It's like fucking pumpkin spice lattes. You're getting them for a season. Once it's gone because it's garbage any other time of the year.
So like when Halloween time comes... Then you like candy corn, but the rest of the time you don't like it.
On candy corn day, what? I eat candy corn.
If you came to my house trick-or-treating.
Yes.
And I gave you a big fucking handful of candy corn.
Yes.
You'd be happy about this.
I would expect this.
Hey, guys, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but Napier's pick of the week is the Star Wars Episode 8 trailer.
No. My pick of the week is the spicy chicken nuggets at Burger King.
That's awesome.
Napier, what he's saying is your picks of the week suck. Generally, that's what he's saying.
That's the point.
He's saying that your picks of the week, they're not good. Your picks of the week, Napes. So what's your pick of the week, buddy? What's your pick of the week?
Thor Ragnarok trailer.
Yeah. Travis, pick of the week.
Travis's pick of the week is Stranger Things 2. Binge all 9 episodes on Netflix now. Also, my secondary pick of the week is watch WNUF Halloween Special, available on DVD, filmed as if it was a broadcast from the 1980s. WNUF Halloween Special.
Drunk, pick of the week, buddy.
My pick of the week is House of Cards Season 6, if it doesn't get canceled.
Be on lookout for Benny's kid.
Benny, you'll point out where your kid is when it comes out so we can see him hanging out with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, I got a pick of the week. Can I give a pick of the week?
Absolutely, Benny.
There's a guy I've been following on YouTube named Christopher Green. He's a conspiracy theory guy.
Oh, I like that.
And
are you into the conspiracy theories?
If it's not all put on. Yeah, check out Christopher Green.
God, I can't watch any of that because I'm so gullible. I watched Loose Change and I immediately thought 9/11 was an insult. I thought Bush did it.
Well, I want to start covering this guy exclusively. I played some clips of him on my last episode on my podcast, Pod Cheese. And if this guy actually believes the stuff he's saying and it's not all a put on act, then this guy is a gold mine and I intend to continue watching and covering and following. And
so Pod Cheese is becoming the Chris Green after show.
The Walking Green.
Holiday cash! You need it and I know where to get it. My bookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner. And while that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending, it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. MyBookie.ag, promo code WFOD.
This is Jackie on Long Island. Please leave your name, your number, when you called, and why you called. Thanks.
Jackie.
Off to a good start.
Jackie didn't answer, Benny.
Yeah.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
The last two films in the Lotus cast's back pocket both opened this weekend and both failed miserably. Suburbicon finished in ninth place, making slightly less than the third weekend of a Jackie Chan movie. Thank You for Your Service did slightly better at sixth place, which only translated to $900,000 more dollars. But at least they took that one in the fourth round. This is the final nail in their coffin, all but guaranteeing their defeat. The Lego movie bombed. Everything bombed. We'll have their final total and a look at Not Safe for Water Cooler's Thor Ragnarok next week.
Thank you for calling Hospital.
What?
If you know your party's extension, please dial it now.
Is this the voicemail?
No. I hung up on it.
You should have left the voicemail. Yeah, we're calling for Jackie Martin.
You know, the joke man. Okay, so I'm going to reply to her and say, the number you gave me is a hospital. That number is to a hospital.
Who coincidentally also is not taking our calls.
WFOD!
Without sight, a demon that feeds on the mind.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a legendary comedian and former head writer of The Howard Stern Show. He's written an autobiography that you can get now. Go to jokeland.com to get the link for that. Jackie Martling is here. Hey, she originally gave us a typo, and we were calling a hospital for it. Do you get a lot of calls for a hospital?
Yeah, but I've healed a lot of people because I'm very mad. I'm a magic person. Well, where am I talking to? Tell me who you are and where I'm talking to.
My name's Mike. Benny is also here. We're with a podcast called the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
The Wheelbarrow Full of...
Dicks.
Dicks.
Jesus, I never heard of this. I don't remember. I don't care. Where are you out of?
I'm in St. Louis. Benny is in Philadelphia.
A wheelbarrow full of... Now, are you a bunch of homos?
No.
just one.
It was ill-advised, Jackie. The name was a mistake.
Well, is anybody listening to you?
Sometimes.
Why would they?
I'm
just being a jerk. How you guys doing? I love St. Louis.
Do you?
I was in St. Louis for a big charity ball about 15 years ago, and I sat between Willie Nelson's ex-wife and Morgan Fairchild, the biggest doctor for hepatitis C, is or was from St. Louis. I forget his name, but he's a world-famous doctor. And Willie Nelson's bass player's wife was cured of hepatitis C by this doctor, so we had a big charity event there. Willie Nelson's my pal.
Huh. I didn't know that there was a cure for hepatitis C.
I don't know if it's a cure or whether it's just a way to combat it. You know what I mean? Like to calm it down or whatever. It's a pretty scary thing because you can get it and not know it for 30 years, and then all of a sudden one day you got it. It's
right.
Pretty heinous. You know?
Hey, Jackie, you know? is there any truth that you had a joint rolling contest with Willie Nelson?
On the radio.
On Stern?
Yeah, on the Howard Stern Show. Yeah, and I won, and Snoop Doggy Dogg beat me.
Is it for speed or is it for how, I mean, is it a sliding scale? Can you?
It was a goof because it was actually, they brought out rolling papers and tobacco, which is big, leafy, you know, it was a mess, but it was just funny. It was just silly, but it was fun.
Hey, I know you're not drinking anymore. Congrats on that, by the way, but are you still, getting high at all?
No, I couldn't resist today. I woke up and I don't know what it was. It's been like 16 years and I woke up this morning just like drank four shots of vodka and I'm out of my mind, man.
Really?
Yeah, I shouldn't be driving. But I smoked some pot to level it off, so I'm okay, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about then.
Well, and you're driving an ambulance, you gotta get out there, it's important.
I haven't had a drink in 16 years. I quit a long time ago, yeah. I don't drink.
We should talk about the book, though, right, Jackie?
If you want to get my book, it's you got to go to JackieTheJokeMan.com. It's one word, JackieTheJokeMan.com, and the Amazon page pops up, and you can get hardcover, or you can get a Kindle, or you can get the audio book. And I recorded the audio book myself, and Artie Lang did the foreword, but he also did the foreword to the audio book.
Yeah, the book's great so far. I haven't finished the whole thing, but there's some really great stories in there, even beyond the Stern stuff. Like, the Rodney stuff was fantastic.
Thank you very much. I didn't know you had it. Thanks for reading it. You know, it's funny because the feedback is 95% over the top, and then you get a couple of crappy reviews. Like, you know, Jackie doesn't know what he's doing. He's an idiot. You know, there's always going to be those Sternophiles that are going to attack me, you know?
Well, I live in Philly, and there's some publication called the Philly Voice, and they just published an article. It wasn't bashing you, but it addressed some rumor that I hadn't heard, but about that. I guess they had spoke to you about it. There was a rumor circulating around that Howard had forbidden anyone associated with the show to cooperate with the book, but you said that wasn't true at all.
What I said was, I don't think it's true, that it could be true. But I hadn't heard that, and you know what? There are websites online websites that just print whatever they want, and then people read that.
Yeah, and take it as
all they remember is reading it, and they take it as fact, and then quote it, and then it becomes he did that, or it becomes I accused him of that. And as far as I know, that's absolutely untrue. And I won't dignify the place who printed it, because that'll just perpetrate it. Howard's big and powerful. He does not need to tell us. Now, if his people know enough not to talk about it or not to do anything, that's one thing. But, you know, I mean, that's just unfair. That's people just trying to start trouble, you know, that they, which they obviously have, you know.
What's interesting to me about the whole thing, and I see all the online internet stuff and all the behind the scenes gossip, and you, I mean, your book is kind of behind the scenes look at your years on the Stern Show, but the Stern Show was kind of designed to like make you feel like you were seeing behind the scenes, you know, like, you know, he'd say
there's no big revelations. You're reading the book. You don't think it's negative, right? It's a love.
No. But I mean, you're telling stories of stuff that was off the air. And I mean, it's interesting to kind of see that, just because, I mean, like, as a long term Stern listener, you know, I always felt like I was part of the club and I was seeing behind the scenes, you know, because he'd say, oh, there's two guys out arguing in the hallway, bring him in here, let's do it on the air, and you know, so like, right. You kind of felt like you were seeing behind the scenes,
right? So if it goes a little bit more behind the scenes, that's really fun for the listeners.
I agree.
You know,
yeah,
they really dig that.
And also
I tell people, you know, there's nothing new. Like, everything that happened on that show, everybody kind of knew. So the stuff in the book is kind of like, it just kind of embellishes and goes a little deeper into the stuff you already know, right?
Yeah, and I think people that think that this is a book that's like a damning tell-all type expose book, it's not like that. It's just a recollection of your time on the radio.
Some of the reviews, people are going, oh, Jackie was saying that this is a big tell-all book, and he baited and switched it. I never said that. That's what those online things are saying. You know, damning book, explosive autobiography.
Yeah, nothing like that at all in the book.
But I never claimed that it was, and now people are saying that I claimed that. You know, it's like, but of course that's going to happen.
If you get some heat in that direction and people think that, then you probably sell some more books, right?
But I don't want people to think I started that or perpetrated that, because that was not the flavor I started this with. I don't want people thinking that they're going to read all kinds of crap. And
yeah, that was my point. It's reviews, not like that at all.
There's people I read a few reviews where people said, oh, this is a love letter. Jackie wrote this to try and get his job back. So some people think I'm slamming Howard, and other people think I'm kissing his ass to get my job. You know, everybody has an opinion, you know. They don't cost anything. You get to have one no matter what, you know.
Well, Stuttering John has talked about writing a tell-all book. Do you think he'll actually do it, or...
Well, you know, as soon as somebody teaches him how to read and write, I think he's got a chance of it.
I thought he was running for Senate. Isn't he running for Senate?
You know, he's my good friend, and he got mad at me and Artie because we broke his balls when we recorded the forward, because he had just come out and said he was going to run for Senate, but he hadn't chosen a roommate, a running mate yet. And we thought that was so funny, and we just went nuts on him. But, like, it's just a goof, man. You know, like,
it was funny.
When the grab him by the pussy thing came out, that was damning for Trump. I can't imagine what tapes they can pull out on John.
You know what? The truth is, all of us guys, we believe it or not, we were so well behaved because we didn't dare. You know, even if you wanted to do something, you didn't do anything because it was going to wind up on the radio. We almost were handcuffed by, you know, same thing with, you know, if you wouldn't even think about cheating on your wife or breaking a law or something, because it's going to be the first thing out of the box in the morning on the radio. So it was kind of good, you know. John's a good guy, and I think he really does have a deal for a book, and I'm sure he'll go wild. I, you know, people are slamming me because I didn't say anything about Fred or Gary. This book was not about them. It was about me. You know what I mean? Every time I wrote Gary's name, I wrote Fla Fla Flo Flo or something like that, which just made it fun, you know?
The title of the book is Bow to Stern, which, of course, is a ship reference. Because you're a boat guy, right?
Right. It's front to back, beginning to end, you know? And
yeah,
I'm not a boat guy at all, but I live on the water. I live in a very nautical situation. And so the bow, and the bow to Stern is wink, wink, because the one thing I didn't do for 18 years was bow to him. You know, that's why I'm not still there. You know what I mean? So
what's interesting to me is from reading the book, it sounds like you had no interest in even being on the radio. You had no aspirations for a radio career, and you just kind of, like,
you know, yeah, that's right. You know, I loved it, and I think it's great. But that wasn't in my sights. I stumbled into that.
You just blindly sent your record albums to anyone who you had heard of that would take them, and kind of caught on.
It's interesting, right? The way the whole thing fell together. It's kind of, everybody thinks that, you know, nobody knew. And so when they read the timeline of my life and how everything kind of, you know, stumbled into place one thing after another, it's kind of interesting, right?
It was a good read. It was a quick read too. I mean, you didn't get too in depth. You told the stories and you got out, and it was a good weekend read, Jackie. I enjoyed the book quite a bit.
Thank you,
Jackie. I was a fan since a teenager, so you're partially responsible for the corruption of my youth. But I'm sure in retrospect you could appreciate how funny it is now. But in the moment, like when they would go on like these half an hour to hour and a half, like Jackie bashing segments that were hilarious. Could you recognize in the moment how funny that was? Or was there an element of you that was kind of playing along? Or in the moment was like, oh man, this is going to be a rough morning.
You know what? People have trouble wrapping their brain around it, but there actually were times when I was actually writing some of the horrible crap he was saying. which is very hard for people to wrap their brain around, because it's kind of surreal. You know what I mean?
So you've been doing stand-up since the 70s, right?
I was a guitar player and a songwriter, and we played songs and told jokes. And when I quit music in the end of 1978, I started telling jokes. Instead of playing guitar and telling jokes, I started telling jokes and playing guitar, if that makes any sense.
So you've been on stages since the 70s. And what I want to know is, like, when you go up on stage to tell jokes, do you keep your wallet on you? Or do you leave your wallet backstage?
I take my wallet out of my pocket because I want my ass to look good on the outside. Chance there's a girl there that wants to bang me
and taking pictures. Yeah. So you leave your wallet backstage. You empty your pockets. That's a common response.
The truth is, I usually leave my wallet in my car.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need it. I guess they probably give you all the chicken fingers and beer you can drink anyway, so you probably don't need it in there, right?
And when I meet the hooker, it's in my car, so I need my wallet not till I get to my car. You know what I'm saying?
Before you get going, can I make a request?
You can do anything you want.
Can you tell the joke about the lion and the monkey in Africa?
So there's a gorilla walking along in the jungle, and there's a lion getting a drink of water from a mud puddle. And the lion's tail is up, and the gorilla is like, oh, man. The gorilla goes up behind the lion and slips some Liberace, you know. And then the gorilla takes off. So the lion takes off after the gorilla, and the gorilla runs into a hunter's camp and jumps inside a tent and puts on like a pith helmet and grabs a copy of the Johannesburg Times and sits down in a chair and starts to read. And the lion comes running into the hunter's camp. Rawr! And he sticks his head in the tent. Rawr! Did a gorilla come through here? And the gorilla peeks out from behind the Johannesburg Times and says, you mean the one that fucked the lion in the ass? And the lion says, my God, you mean it's in the paper already? That is the greatest joke. You know, that's the first joke I told. I did Gilbert Gottfried's podcast a couple of times, and we're just really good friends with our jokes. And he requested that, and I told that on his podcast. I did a couple of his podcasts that are coming out again next week.
There's like a legendary bit from Stern. I think Gilbert was on, so his laugh kind of contributed to it. But it was during Robin's News, and it was like a really bad news day in terms of like really heinous news, really dark and grim stuff. And throughout the entire segment, Fred was playing clips of your laugh at the end. of every news story.
Yeah, like... and the hard, the more he played it, the more Gilbert laughed, and the more I laughed, which is great.
I remember
Fred has so many copies of my laugh, right? And he played it. It was one of the most popular things on the show is him playing the laughs after heinous stories. And it was really funny because I would either get the credit or the blame. And I'd be like, that's crazy because Fred should get all the credit or all the blame. It has nothing to do with me. I was an innocent bystander. You know, but he'd play that and Howard would go, oh, Jackie, oh, Jackie. You know, they'd play along. That was a funny.
People would call in and reprimand you for laughing at such horrible things.
Yeah, and I'd be like, how stupid can people be? You know, my God.
Yeah, so I think that if you dedicated the remainder of your life to making sure that Fred got credit for things, that would be a worthy use of your time because
you have to read my book.
You sing a did lot of praises of book? Fred in the book.
But did you read the place about where Howard bleeped?
Yeah.
When I gave Fred credit?
Right, yeah.
That tells, you know, when I got to the show, Fred was writing all the parodies and all the, you know, and all the bits, and he was getting zero credit. It wasn't until me and Fred started writing it together and Howard say, Robin, here's a song I wrote. I said, what do you mean that you wrote? He said, all right, here's a song me and the boys wrote. Said, what do you mean you and the boy? You know what I mean? It's so funny. Fred never spoke up. He never spoke up for himself. So what, you know?
Is he fine just sitting back there and doing what he does? He never had any...
He's absolutely fine. I think he might be a powder keg. Who knows? There's no way to know. He's just he's a good soldier. He would take a bullet for Howard. He's the building block of the show. He's the greatest guy. He's beyond brilliant, beyond funny, beyond talented. One of the most talented people I've ever been in the presence of. And I say that all through the book, you know?
Yeah.
You got any stand-up dates coming up, Jackie?
Where's this? Who listens to this? Anybody anywhere?
Oh, we're all over the world.
It's online. So
I'm going to be at the Cutting Room the night before Thanksgiving, the wildest night of the year. I'm going to be at the Cutting Room doing a show and a book signing November 22nd. That's Wednesday night, November 22nd. I'm at a place at a winery in Blairstown, New Jersey on November 16th. And I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun on Sunday, November 12th. I can't believe I'm pulling these right out of my mind. And November 2nd, I'm at McGuire's in Bohemia on Long Island. And December 9th, I'm at the Looney Bin, Staten Island. And I just love doing my shows, man. I still dig it so much. People say,
yeah,
I hope
you come back to Philly soon.
Oh, that's the one I left out. And November 25th, I'm at the Raz Room New Hope. Well, that's not Philly, but it's kind of close to Philly.
Yeah, it's right outside. It's not too far.
Hey, did you ever hear of the vault at Victor Records?
I'm sorry? The vault?
Did you ever hear of a place that's outside of Philadelphia called the vault at Victor Records?
No, I'm not familiar. Do you know where specifically it is? What town?
Yeah, it's in Berlin, New Jersey. It's Victor Records was a record company before it merged with RCA Victor. And it's the most amazing history. And they have all the old stuff there and the old Victrolas and the crank Victrolas. It's a little performance space. And I did a show there last Saturday. And it's just a delightful little place. And all of Philadelphia really should know about this place. I can't believe that they don't. It's amazing.
The Vault in Berlin. I'll check that out.
The Vault at Victor Records. Look it up on Google. It's, you know, it's the they invented the idea of putting the music on a disc. You know, Edison had it on a tin wheel, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I did stand up for about 10 years. And when I first started out, the Reverend Bob Levy kind of took me under his wing because he's from around this area. And he used to put me up in front of Stern Crowds.
Story?
Well, yeah, you represented a book. He got his name from you. You coined the name the Reverend, right?
Like decades later, I found out that he's still using the name. I thought that was so funny. I was very honored, you know?
There's a lot of comedians who have like their old showcase tapes, and it's your voice introducing them. Rich Voss had a tape that he was playing, and it was you introducing them. And I think it was all from that Rascals showcase.
That was audition nights with Levy, but I hosted the Rascals Comedy Hour for a couple of years, and I had every comic in under the sun that I introduced. You know what I mean? That there would be three comedians every week, and it was fun. Oh my God, was that that was just a field day, and that was I was on the show. So yeah. I would go from the show, and I would host the Rascals Comedy Hour on a Thursday night. I had to have a different 7 or 8 minute monologue every week of different jokes. Every week for a year, I had a different 7 or 8 minutes that I they're just old jokes, but I had to memorize what I was telling and what I wasn't telling. And it was at the same time as we had the damn Channel 9 show. How I did all that, man, I will never, ever know. Oh, you know, we had the radio show, plus we wrote the TV show, plus I had to have a monologue. You know, I get a headache just thinking about the work I used to do. Now, you know, I just went to get my TSA clearance, and that's enough work for today. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Are you still in contact with Bob Levy? What's he doing now?
I haven't seen him in a while. I saw him maybe a year ago. So, you know what? Casey Armstrong, I think, did like a roast. Maybe they were roasting Casey Armstrong at some little Holiday Inn, and I went out there, and Levy was there and a bunch of people. He's a decent guy. He's a good chap.
Yeah, he's been driving for Uber lately. So you know how lots of times when you're driving with Uber, you talk to the driver. He's got probably one of the coolest stories of any of the other drivers. I mean, he can say that Jackie Martling coined the phrase the Reverend Bob Levy.
If you had an Uber driver and he told you his name was Reverend Bob Levy and that he was a comedian, that the Jackie the Joke Man named him, wouldn't you say, let me out at the next corner? That's a pretty good that's funny that it's true, you know.
Is it true? He drives for Uber now?
That's the absolute gospel truth, where it's funny.
Who was your favorite Stern guest?
There was a lot of them. You know, I love Pat Cooper. And yeah. When Sam came on, it was usually fun. But then Pat Cooper was the funniest and the most fun. You know, Sam ran hot and cold, and so many people were fun. You know, Belzer was always funny. Gilbert was always funny. But Pat Cooper was really crazy, you know.
Richard Simmons
was fun. That got old quick, you know.
Your reaction to when Beetlejuice would come in the studio just kind of really emphasized to anyone listening what was going on.
There was never a time when that guy walked into the studio that I wasn't like, holy mother of God, you know, that God has a sense of humor and he's a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think you're ready to look at that guy, and you are never ready to look at that guy.
Yeah, I got an opportunity to Beatles sit a couple times from doing shows with those guys, and it was one of the highlights of my very short and illuminous career was getting to watch.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Where'd you do comedy?
It was pretty much the Philadelphia area around here. Every once in a while, if I got lucky enough to get up to New York, I would. But yeah, like I said, Levy helped me out a lot. And
I was doing comedy in Philadelphia years and years before I met Howard. I started in 79. I worked at the Comedy Works and the Comedy Factory Outlet and Bananas and the Comedy Cabaret, all those joints. I was there forever.
Well, your picture is still up at the cabaret, and the Comedy Works, I believe, Stu has a picture of you. Those places are still around.
Why do all these clubs have such goofy fucking names?
Well, what are you going to do? It's called Harry's? I think the names are great. Giggles and Zanies and
Bananas.
I always thought there should be one called Schadenfreude. You know what that means?
No.
Schadenfreude is a German word that's the definition is that's taking glee in someone else's misfortune. Which every comic does. If I tell you your best friend who's another comedian bombed, you want to get up and dance, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're all such pricks. We're all such pricks, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? I had six book signings in the last 7 days, and I finally... today is my day off, and I'm going to Gilbert. There's a big party for Gilbert Gottfried's documentary that's coming out.
Oh, that looks so. It looks so good. Have you seen it yet?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen half of it. It's going to be just such a delight to go there and not have to work. I've been signing and driving and driving and signing and performing. And now, you know, I had a, but it was really fun. It was a great week, and I'm selling a lot of books, and I appreciate it. It's guys like you. I don't care if you only got two listeners. If we get them both to buy a book, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, we have more than two listeners, Jackie. We have at least double that.
Okay. So listen, JackieTheJokeMan.com. Go to that URL. The Amazon page pops up. JackieTheJokeMan.com. Get it in hardcover. Get it in Kindle. Get it as an audio book. I'll tell you my sales pitch. I've been telling everybody, if you have a friend that's a Stern fan and you don't have a lot of money, buy the book, read the book, and then give it to your friend for Christmas, right? if you got family members and friends that are Stern fans, it's the easiest present. It's a no-brainer. It's a perfect present for somebody that's a Stern fan. So if you know five people in your family that are Stern fans, you buy five, and that's a whole night or two of Christmas shopping you just knocked out of the way. You can go out and get drunk because you don't have to spend it walking around through the mall or combing through to Google. And one other thing is, if you're wrapping Christmas presents, everybody goes out to the stores and buys presents and then sits around and wraps them, right?
Right.
Think about the times that you've been wrapping presents and you get to a book.
That's
what goes
easy
through your mind? Now, this is easy to wrap.
Yeah.
This is a holiday to wrap this thing. It's the easiest thing in the world to wrap. So you buy five or ten of them. You go somewhere to get me to sign them. You get a nice autographed book for your friend. They get something that they really love. It's really unique. It's brand new. Easy to wrap. You don't have to go out Christmas shopping. This book sells itself,
this
man. It doesn't even need me.
This is all very thoughtful.
You're doing a service to us all, Jackie. You're doing a service.
Well, the truth is I'm hawking my book, but everything I'm saying is really true, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, Jackie, man, the book's been great so far. Thanks for all the laughs over the years, man. Love you, man.
Thank you. Yep. One last thing is I tweet jokes every day at 4:20 marijuana time. 4:20 p.m. I tweet jokes. Follow me at Jackie Martling. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. At Jackie Martling. Yesterday I tweeted my friend Willie Nelson sent me a picture of him holding up my book and giving me the finger. It's so funny. If go on my Twitter at Jackie Martling, you'll see the picture. It's just great. I asked his daughter to ask him to do that, so she said, I'm not on the road with him anymore. You gotta wait till he gets home. And he finished up his tour and he went back to Austin, and all of a sudden there's the picture of him giving the finger. It's so fun. He's a good guy, man.
Bow to Stern is available now. Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Take care.
All right. Listen, good luck with your head full of dicks. I appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
That was great. Jackie Martler.
Wow. Benny, I feel like that could have gone on for, like, we could have just kept talking to Jackie as long as we had wanted to. Like,
yeah, that was fun. I think we caught him on a good day. Fortunately, we caught him on the day he decided to end his 16-year sobriety.
That was Jackie the Joke Man Martling. Get his book, Bow to Stern, on Amazon. You can go to jokeland.com, pre-order that. Follow Jackie on Twitter, at Jackie Martling. Benny, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Thanks,
yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate you asking me to do this. It was a good book. To anyone that's familiar with that era of the Howard Stern Show,
right? And you, when you're a fan of something, I mean, I listened to Howard for years and years and years. Actually, I started listening to him after Jackie. I used to listen. I watched the E Show when I was a kid.
But yeah.
Until I was actually like commuting to work, I wasn't listening to the radio show. And by the time I aged out to where I was commuting to work, Artie was already on the show. But
a lot of those segments are still on YouTube. A lot of the Jackie bashing segments, those were great, where they would just spend 45 minutes to an hour bashing them. So that was kind of interesting that he was writing a lot of his own lines.
Right. And it's kind of funny because when someone, you know, when they have the microphone and you don't, then like, you know, they kind of dominate the angle of the story.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was very interesting to read this book. And it's a quick, I mean, I got through it pretty quickly because it's not very long. It has some great stories in it. It's a fun read. So check that
out. And I think a lot of what he did kind of influenced a lot of broadcasters today. Like, for instance, I think Drunk oftentimes hands you a slip of paper that says, I have a room full of dressers in my house.
Rad. Drunk does not write anything. Travis writes, Napier rarely writes, Drunk writes nothing. Drunk just brings himself, and that's enough. Drunk is a muse, is what Drunk is.
I'm looking forward to Drunk's book, too.
He a lot of times will refer to them as being like the Beatles of radio. And there is truth to that, because, you know, if you look at, you know, everybody doing this now, and everybody, you know, doing, you know, morning radio now, like they changed the way radio was done. And whether you like Howard Stern or not, I mean, like everybody in their own way that's doing it today was influenced by them in some way.
Hey, before we get going, let me put you on the spot. What is your show, you guys, band, in reference to podcasting? If they were the Beatles
blank of podcasting,
of radio, what band are you guys to podcasting? The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio show.
Probably like Buck Cherry.
Buck Cherry.
We're the Buck Cherry of podcasting.
It's not a bad tag.
Benny's show can be found at podcheese.podbean.com. You're going to be on the Monumental Waste of Time this coming weekend on Sunday. We're all looking forward to that, to hear your musings on Joe Matarese.
Yeah, likewise. I'm excited for that. November 5th at noon, if you want to check it out live, it'll be on their Facebook page, Monumental Waste of Time. And of course, check out Podcheese. I'd appreciate it.
And that's it, guys. That's it. We'll do it again next week. We appreciate you.
Hey, can I say it?
Can you say what?
That's my mama.
One thing is for certain.
What's that, Jackie?
This is the final curtain. What a joke. Take a toke. My back is broken. I said apples, peaches, raisins, April, June, and July. I think I'm going crazy, Mama. You're the reason why. The farmer's daughter blew my fuse. I had a bad time in the monologue of life. Blue. Before I start another story, before I open my great big yap, I'm gonna make sure there ain't a flaw, not a weak spot in my rap. As though my anecdotes were scattered with sailors and booze, priest midgets, old ladies, Polacks and Jews. Even that naked girl was stranded from a shipwreck cruise. She had the bad time in the monologue of life. Blue.
Bad time of day. Bad time of day. Bad time of day. Bad time of day.
I'm laying a great big egg. I got flop sweat rolling down my brow. But I'll be gone. You come back for more. If you think my grand finale's such a terrible bore, do you realize I got nothing left to lose but the bad timing in the monologue of life blue?
Bad timing, bad timing, bad timing, bad timing.
I said lake, earth, field, stream, river, and mountain. I wish that there was liquor in every water fountain. It just might cure my red, my yellow, my green, my orange, my purple.
for my blues.
Bad timing, babe. Bad timing.
I said the bad, bad timing in the monologue of life's bad news.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. Join us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, wfodix.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at wfodix. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND. Email us at wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Jody B. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey, guys. Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com. And find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.
Crystal, it's Corey. I'm wanting to believe that this is a joke. You gotta be joking, right? This isn't real. Like, no human being on this earth would be selfish enough and egotistical enough and fucked up in the head enough to fuck friends over like this at the last minute. Like, you know that I spent real money, and you know that I'm struggling, and you know how hard it has been to get to this point. And like, no person would do this to another group of people that they call friends unless you're like a soulless, careless, like inhumane fucking piece of shit. So I really hope, for all fucking practical purposes, that this is a fucking elaborate joke, and that you're going to call and say that this was all a joke, or you were just playing, or something. Because if I don't fucking hear from you, girl, your name is fucking Mud. Let me tell you, don't even bother coming back to LA, because you'll never get another gig in that fucking town. Ever. Like, I will fucking make sure everybody knows what a piece of shit you are. Okay? Cool. Peace.
What do you know about crystals?
They make great chandeliers.
This crystal may seem unremarkable, but so is the seed of a redwood tree. It's how our mutual friend in tights made his Arctic getaway spot. Cute, it's a little small for my taste.
You're building an island?
You're not seeing the big picture here, Miss Lane. Let me enlarge it for you. Not just an island, an entirely new continent. An extinct world, reborn on our own.
Why?
Land, Miss Lane. I mean, Kitty, what did my father used to say to me?
You're losing your hair?
Before that.
Get out.
He said, you can print money, manufacture diamonds, and people are a dime a dozen, but they'll always need land. It's the one thing they're not making anymore.
But the United States,
will be under water. It's simple physics, Miss Lane. Two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time.
And the rest of the world will just let you keep it? They'll...
What? I'll have advanced alien technology thousands of years beyond what anyone could throw at me. Bring it on! And eventually, the rest of the world will be begging me for a piece of high-tech beachfront property. In fact, they'll pay through the nose for it.
But millions of people will die.
Billions! Once again, the press underestimates me. This is front page news. Come on, let me hear you say it just once. Come on.
You're insane.
No! No, the other thing. Come on, I know it's just dangling off the tip of your tongue. Let me hear it just once, please.
Superman will never...
Wrong!
A lady calls the doctor. She says, Doc, I have diarrhea. Can I take a bath? He says, if you got enough. What's the smelliest thing in the world? An anchovy's pussy. Hi, this is Jackie the Joke Man. You know, I love it when you use your finger dial 516-922-WINE. And I tweet jokes every day at 4:20 p.m. International Marijuana Time at Jackie Martling. Follow me on Twitter. So the wife says, get out, get out, get the hell out. As her husband's walking out the door, she says, I hope you die a slow, painful death. He says, so now you want me to stay? The Polish family's in the living room. The wife turns to her husband and says, let's send the kids out back to PLAY so we can fuck. Pre-order the Joke Man, Bow to Stern. Go to JackieTheJokeMan.com.